Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. Today's solo episode is an invitation to slow down, zoom out, and look at the experiences that have shaped you. Not just the shiny ones, but the challenging moments, the confusing seasons, and the parts of your story you're still making sense of. In this episode, I'm sharing personal examples from my own journey, not as the answer, but as a mirror for your own life. Together, we'll explore how the events you've lived through, especially the painful ones, aren't random. They are full of direction and they're full of purpose for you. They're often here as the very catalyst that guide you towards your calling and your fullest expression. By the end, my hope is that you walk away with a deeper understanding of how your own life can transform into what is my purpose and how your unique path is already unfolding exactly as it's meant to. So let's dive in. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. We're here at the beginning of December in 2025. So welcome to any new listeners we have. If you're starting here, I think this is episode 155 or thereabouts, 154. And we welcome you here. I've been doing the podcast for almost 3 years. I cannot believe it. And it's a space where I really celebrate women's voices, women's transformation, our connection with each other, and how we're moving into a time and a paradigm where we fully support one another. And we work on our shadowy places, our places that really truly aren't us. And today's episode is a little bit about that, but that's an orientation of what I'm up to here at Mystical Sisterhood. I'm Maureen Spielman, your host. And I hope that this is a place that you can call home and find some resonance for you. And so here I am, and it's December. And I really feel like this episode has become an ode to you and all you have experienced in your life. There may be times in this podcast that I get choked up. That's because we are all living big lives, and wherever we are, we go through a lot and we experience a lot and we learn from it too. I think as we get older, we get wiser. I mean, even if you're 25 or you're 55 or you're 75, but as I sit here in my mid 50s, I feel like I've seen a lot either in my own lives or my friends or my family. And at the same time, I know there's so much more that's going to be unfolding, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. The theme I'm talking about today is how what you've experienced in your own life has a lot of clues about what you're up to in this lifetime. We can call it our purpose, but I feel like our lives are sort of thematic in a way. And even the directions we take that are off the beaten path are teachers for us. They're either here to serve as a GPS and get us back on our life's path, or just they're full of information. There is nothing in this life that we experience that is not just so full of information for us. Even, you know, the most random passing on the street, the most random things someone says to us. And I think that my sub themes today are how women have been taught to quiet themselves and play so many roles and don many, many costumes that simply don't fit anymore. So I'm going to share some of my experiences from my own life and maybe encroach on that little bit more vulnerable that you may or may not hear from me. So there's that. Okay. And I want to say, with hindsight comes wisdom. I can't wait, because I put on the Mystical Sisterhood Facebook page. If you want to be a member of that, it's under Mystical Sisterhood. And it's a private Facebook page where I post about the podcast. But I asked a question, because I wrote this line as I wrote this script. And I wrote, "With hindsight comes wisdom, of which I know you all have in spades." This is what I adore and love about getting older. And when I wrote that, I thought, how often do you hear that phrase in that question? This is what I adore and love about getting older. And I don't think that we celebrate that enough. So, you know, along the conversations of, you know, our bodies changing or our faces changing, you know, our physical appearance, it's like, what do you adore and love about getting older? Because I know that inner transformation is happening. I see it. I love being in the conversations, whether it's a client or a sister or a friend. Nothing delights me more, or even my own children. So what I see, though, and witness in you is this idea of something emerging in life that has required you to pull from within, to face fears perhaps you never knew were there. You're charting your own path to really hold your own hand through the process, not knowing what the outcome on the other side would be, and all the while answering the silent knowing of she had the answers all along. She had the answers all along. In, I think, a week from now, Melanie Ramone joined me on the next episode, and that is a big theme of she had the answers all along. And an adjunct to this is that the notion is women, we will not sacrifice ourselves anymore. We will not sacrifice our voices any longer. We see it playing out on the main stages of the world, this suppression of women. And it's unbelievable, right? We're in 2025 and it's like, oh my gosh, are you telling me that this thing that once had this stronghold and where women actually quieted themselves, it is like, I feel like it's like a, you know, a cat hanging off the side of a building and clawing away, like holding on. And then as women, we're like, no, we will not. There's been so many ways that we've suppressed and carried generations of pain and that suffering, and it shows up in big ways in our lives, but it also shows up in small, innocuous ways. And I think when we really can see that in one another and help one another too, and supporting and being like, oh my gosh, what modeling did I have? What internalized voices did I take on? What conditioning is there for me? It helps us move into using our voices more and more. And it's vital that we bring our voices forward for ourselves, for our families, for our communities, and out into the greater world. It has such a ripple effect. We are never really going to know how this ripple effect affects other people. So recently, while doing an exercise on what I had been through and overcome in my life, key things came to mind. And as is with me, I begin to write a script about what I want to say. And then I start to go down a million rabbit holes. And I want to know if you can relate to that. Like, I don't know if it's the age of distraction. I've never considered myself to be ADD or ADHD. But sometimes my mind is hard to tame. I think that that's something that's shown up in astrological charts. But anyway, I'll try to narrow it down. But at the same time, it's who I am. And I can't apologize for that, can I? So what started as something in this script morphed into something else. And what that is really a story of my longtime suppression in a lot of my life, and how you might see shades of it in yourself or not, or your own version of it. If this doesn't relate to you in any way, that's okay. You can always leave at the doorstep what is not yours and take anything that is. So if you do a mini life review, which I am sure you have at many points, I am certain that key moments come to you as well. And I'm going to share some that seemed important today, some of my own experiences. And yeah, this is what I mean by like, what have you walked through? What fires? They are fires. They scorch our feet, right? What have you walked through and made it to the other side? That is really, really juicy. So I think what I'm going to do also is put some of these questions in a PDF if anyone wants to grab it from the show notes. So yeah, there's many ways to explore this further too. One of the things I just added was I typically do 12-week coaching sessions with people, but I added something called a Radiant Heart Clarity Session. And it's a 2-hour clarity session to get to the bottom of what you're here to say, what you're up to, what is your heart and soul's desire. And you can access that by reaching out at hello@maureenspielman.com. We can talk more about it, and it's going to be on my website as well. But I'm going to tell you I think I've touched upon this with episodes, and if you're new, then you haven't heard it, but my staying quiet as a child was just a seminal experience I've had in my life. And I think that I've had a lot of women say to me, yeah, me too, in their own ways, they were quieted. And I can remember back, I have this photo of me sitting on my mom's lap, and I should really use it for a promo for this episode. And it speaks volumes of that little girl and what she was experiencing. And so is there a picture of yourself that's from your childhood, maybe in some cute outfit you remember, and just you can see yourself having adapted ways of existing that truly you now are like, that wasn't me. Perhaps you had the things that were absolutely you because you were still at age 5 or 7 were holding on to who you were. But I think for so many of us, we went through these years of becoming the quiet one, the overgiver, the perfectionist, the people pleaser, all these different roles that women have really taken on. And mine was the quiet one. And so that picture was, I think if I remember, it was around Christmas. I grew up in Indiana, so it was a colder climate. And I think my mom and I were both wearing these long, I was even in a robe and she was in a long skirt. And I think that there's an echo in this photo, this echo. And my friend Alicia Isaacs Howes uses that terminology. And I really like it. Like, what is the echo? What is the shades of what was going on for you? What were you learning? And this is my own kind of adaptation of what that means to me. And what it was is, she is so quiet. She is so quiet. She is so quiet. It's just like, it was just like this theme running in the background. I broke my leg as a kindergartner. And I also ruptured my small intestine in an ode to Nadia Comaneci in the 1976 Olympics. My acrobats went wrong, and I think I'm lucky to be here today. But I remember that there would be these stories around the doctor's visits or the hospitalizations. And it would be, she's so quiet. She was so quiet. She didn't say a word in the hospital. And I remember, as we do with salient emotional experiences, I remember being that little girl in the hospital bed. And there's kind of a couple pictures of it too. I had an NG tube going into my nose. I was had a big scar down my stomach. And I remember being scared. I remember that doctor coming in the room, and it was just like, she is so quiet. She is so quiet. And it was like, I think of that a lot in our childhoods and the ways that we learn to be is we were and people say this all the time, and I'll say it here because it matters, is like, our parents, you know, did the best job they could. And it was easier for me to be quiet in my house because I was the 5th of 6 kids. But I was laughing. Like, yeah, it did make my parents' job easier. And I'm laughing because our dad never wanted, the story was that he didn't like dogs. And why would he want a dog? I mean, our house was so boisterous and full that we didn't need one. But my whole point is not about whether we had a dog or not, but it's that the experiences of my childhood led me to what I'm doing today. And I, as an adjunct, I got my degree in, I was first a nursing student at Indiana University. And then I didn't like the fact that I'd have to go to Indianapolis because Indiana's in Bloomington, Indiana. And I would have to go to Indianapolis to pursue the nursing degree for my junior and senior years of college. I could commute, but something about that, I think I was having fun in college and I didn't want to leave the campus. So I bagged the, it's kind of funny, right? I bagged the major, and I didn't seek anyone's help. And I became a political science major, which is really kind of funny, but I still haven't totally rectified that one in my mind as to the path there. I worked on Capitol Hill for about, God, not even 6 months, like 4 months for a congressperson. Isn't that funny? But anyway, that led me back to become a speech language pathologist. And so anyway, what really emerges for me is like, why was all that important? Why was that part of my story? And I think it's because it's led to a mission of giving myself a voice, but also handing the microphone to women to share their voices and to share their stories. And it's just so beautiful. It's just like, wow, you can't script this stuff, right? And so, you know, the questions I would ask you is, who were you as that little child? And even if they weren't the ways that you quieted, what if they were the ways you expressed? Like, I'm thinking, if you are an interior designer and you created little scapes when you were a little girl, and you just, so I guess it's not always about the pain that we went through, but it's how we expressed ourselves too, because there's answers that lie in our childhood. And so for me, though, all of those, the masks and the costumes that I wore really affected the work that I'm doing now. Another seminal experience, I don't even know if that's the right word, is the challenging times that I went through as a teenager. I think my siblings could tell you that they were a bit concerned about me. And I think that when I came out of my childhood, it was like, whoa, you know, there was a lot of that. I mean, there's all these things I'm talking about can be podcasts in and of themselves, but I was still wearing the quietness mask, let's say, of my early childhood and doing right by everyone else. And I think, you know, it's really interesting because I have close relationships with all my siblings. And I think that there was also a truth in there that we forged relationships with each other. And there were a lot of us. We were six kids in 10 years, but there was a microcosm happening in my household growing up. And it was a very connected way of being together, playing together, creating scenarios sometimes. Yeah, we fought and those kind of things, but of the joy we wanted to experience in life, of the connection that we want to have. So that's just coming to me in the moment, because I always say too that the gold lies where maybe we haven't seen it yet. So when I got to my adolescence, these outer rules, the cultural expectations, and the ways that I was, my perception was I had to fit in, I really was like, this doesn't really fit. I remember being switched to a Catholic school in eighth grade and telling my dad, I don't believe in God. And he was like, oh my gosh, what do I do with that? But I'm laughing because Sam Symes was on an episode 140. And I think the episode was called She Who Breaks the Pattern. And she talked about how she would try to fit in and be smoking and with the other cool girls on the bus. And I think we can all relate to that kind of concept. And that episode was a real hit. So if you haven't listened to it, I love that episode. So on the outside, I was playing the role really well, but in the inside, I was silently suffering. And I think that I was probably trying to seek validation or attention that I hadn't gotten in my early childhood, but that felt very overwhelming to me. And I think the ways that I acted out in my teen years and then carried shame for, I am not kidding you, decades, was really, I didn't have the ways of expressing myself, of expressing what I was going for, of not feeling shameful about it. And I think that the reason I bring up for me my teen years as being so informative to my life was it led me to a place where my heart goes out to this age of kids. And I honestly think it's what led me to, you know, decades before I discovered conscious parenting, it led me to my own knowing of wanting to parent in a different way, to give my kids a voice. And I'll tell you what, like when my kids were young, it was messy in the outside world because the missing elements was Maureen, my younger version, didn't know how to take care of herself at all. Like how do you, you know, any mother will tell you there are those times of overwhelm, of tiredness and what they were, but I had no way of relating to myself and giving myself so much unconditional love. And I also didn't know how to set a boundary. So, you know, I did the best I could as we do in life. But I think that that's why I eventually, because of what I didn't get in my childhood, is why I care so deeply about bringing the discussions around conscious parenting, around working with ourselves to be the most conscious parent we can be, the most aware of our own patterns. And why I care so much about the population of the teen. And so, yeah, I think it's really cool. I think that it showed up in a group I started with my dear friend, Annie, and our, that was around social emotional programming in our school district. And it, so it all makes sense, right? When we start to really honor it and hold it. And I brought my family patterns then and my personal patterns into my marital relationship, really. And for years, I lived in this, a lot of people don't like this, but it makes sense to me. If you don't like the phrase, do away with it. But it was more of a victim mentality that I kind of learned to live with, like seeing me against the world. And I really wore that mask for a long, long time. And there was a lot of righteousness to it. And there was, you know, like, I'm right. This is the way I see the world. And I suffered for it. I really did. And so what I didn't know, of course I didn't know, was that in each and every interaction in my life, there was information for me. And this is such a key point. Whatever your age is, but all our interactions, our most intimate relationships, what comes to us is there for us. And that transformation, and this transformation, how many decades did it take? It took a long time. But then I have to hold that gold with it, right? I think the a version of me before would be like, why was it like that? Having guilt or shame around things. And that part of me has been freed. I think that that's why it's an important to look at the, like, how the voices of criticism are still coming in. But I was going to say the gold that I started to pave the path in is that even when my babies were little, I would ask for what I needed. And it was because I so desperately needed, whether it was having my husband wake in the middle of the night to care for the babies, there were ways in which it was beginning to emerge. And for me, it was a beginning. So what this brought up for me too was how I had postpartum depression with my first child and then with my second. And what came through for me that's so important here is that I never asked for help. I never told anyone during the first parenting experience when my son arrived. It was, the kids are close together 2 years later, and I was going through it again. And then I finally called the OBGYN. And I remember that moment of reaching out for help in this tiny, we owned the house, but it was a tiny apartment we lived in. And, you know, gosh, as women asking for help, do we always wait for it to become a desperate time? Or can that look differently where it's like, no, we're overturning that paradigm too. And so there's so many lessons in these decades of my life, maybe called the child rearing years. I don't know, mourning in the middle years, but I can see it now. And, you know, I think that that question that was posed in the beginning, like, what have you gotten through in your life, is like losing our mom in 2016 to lung cancer. And, you know, that's a whole journey if you've lost a parent. And I think really, even though I had a grandmother who had gone through cancer, never really having been through that experience and learning all about it, and not within 2 years, and my sister-in-law went through breast cancer at the same time, my mom was not well. And just to have a diagnosis myself in 2018. And that was really, I think, the thing that finally really broke me open. And I thought I knew a bit about going through that health diagnosis with my mom, but there was something that occurred where, you know, I needed to go through it too. And at 48, to look into the eyes of something that was so scary and so big, it really asked me, it's funny, I was writing this and I was like, it really asked me to reconsider how I had been living, and with no right or wrong as to that, because of course, how we don't know these things, right? And for me in my life, it not only invited me, and I'm curious for you, if this has occurred for you, sometimes life invites us. Sometimes life demands it of us. And, you know, luckily during that time, I think what I realized is I had been on a spiritual quest for a while. I had read, you know, Joe Dispenza or Abraham Hicks or Wayne Dyer or Pam Grout, like people that I loved and that were sort of North Stars. I loved Lissa Rankin when I went through my health stuff, and so many great, great authors. And that paved a path for me to reach out for more, to begin thinking about how my intuition could lead me, to begin to understand how the body speaks through whispers, then shouts, to know that resources and paths of healing that were alternative were there for me, to learn how to receive, a big one, to learn to use my voice within the doctor-patient relationship. And those 18 months of my life were long and pivotal, and they were a turning point in my becoming. So perhaps you've had, what was your turning point? Or perhaps many are coming to mind. You know, I think that we have many, and sometimes we have the big one. It might be illness. It might be divorce. It could be losing a loved one. It could be caring for an aging parent. It could be feeling so much anxiety or depression or something that you don't have answers to that are here for you. They're here for you. And that's what I'd say, reach out, lean in. And each and every one of these touch points are important for our lives. And where we revisit them and we do take on a new perspective, a new lens. And we're rewriting our stories constantly. New information comes to us. We're establishing new timelines. It's constantly changing, and it's painful and it's beautiful. And this is where the seeding for my new career path began, in working with women one-on-one via coaching and working on that voice, working on the conditioning that really is not ours any longer, learning how to release, learning how to envision. And although I didn't know it then, it's where this podcast and women having a place to speak out loud unapologetically emerged. I had no idea. I had no idea I was going to be doing this. I thought I was the least likely person to do this, given that I was the quiet girl I once was. And at the same time, I was the most likely to overcome, to prove to myself really ultimately that it's possible. And then by doing that, proving it to other women too. And after I do some of this life inventory, a question comes: how did you get through it? Some of the answers that came to mind for me is I always had a dogged pursuit. This is kind of neat, because this is where our truths come out. I always had a dogged pursuit of finding answers that didn't lie on the surface. I always questioned systems. I call it my own personal reconnaissance. If you know me, you know it's true. I call it sometimes going rogue. And I personally love this part about me. I'd be remiss to say that older versions of me weren't filled with self-doubt and self-criticism. That was like the ride or die. That was, you know, Maureen's girl. She was always there to be hard on herself and to criticize. And I think that how I got through, and it took a while, was to learn how to transform the voices of judgment and self-criticism, self-doubt, with the quality of compassion and unconditional love, and keep on going back and appreciating myself. And this has been life-changing. I was able to see, and this was a transformational point too, like I said, in that health journey. And I think, and then when I was in Dr. Shefali's conscious parenting training, it was like, that's when my victim mentality was like, holy effing smokes. Wow. Cause I wouldn't have known. I couldn't see that part of myself, the part of myself that the world was against me. And I was able to shift into how in the world could these things be for my own evolution? And honestly, it's a much gentler way of being with ourselves, even though that question and turnaround can seem daunting when we first start to consider it. But when we first start to consider it, how can this be for my own evolution? It's also exciting. And I think there's a part of our soul that wakes up in this. And that life has led me to a gradual leaning into the universe that I have learned guides me in each and every moment, if I am willing to be present to the me that's emerging in each and every moment. And my greatest lesson that has learned is that, and this, if I rewrote it, it could look different every day, but that the commitment to yourself will always be worth it. that the years of study and self-study and sheer curiosity will pay off, that I am worthy of all that I seek, and that it takes me seeking daily inspiration to keep in my truth, learning to continue to shed the layers, because we are here to shed the layers of our conditioning, and we can do it. When we uncover these layers of our conditioned self, of the costumes and the masks we've worn, we discover our soul, our essence, the gold that lies awaiting within. And so I'll end this episode and this storyline of how did you get to where you are today? What were the experiences that were formative and transformative? What ways did you abandon yourself in the process? What happened when you did abandon yourself? Did it take many times to come back to yourself over and over again? What has been your inspiration in getting there? I'm just thinking of these questions. How do you practice now holding your life's experiences? How have you come to appreciate yourself? While it was once a radical act to shine the light on oneself, it is no longer. And we are watching in real time women doing this. And this is not for the big names on the Instagram accounts that were like, wow, she has a huge following, or, oh my gosh, their work is so established. Do not be duped into thinking it is only for them. For I believe what you see in them, you hold within yourself. And so when we watch each other do this, my fellow women, my own sisters, and those extended sisters in my family, and the greater sisterhood are constantly, I am talking daily, proving to me what is possible in using our voices, in expressing our divine feminine, in just this really juicy, beautiful becoming that we're doing. It's not only for ourselves, but it's for the collective. While it was once a radical act, it still is a radical act. But give yourself permission to see yourself, to see your journey, to celebrate, oh, the parts that you weren't at your best, and to celebrate how you got to where you are now, even if there's still self-criticism, self-judgment. Know that I am here for you. This is the coaching that I love to do, to get beneath the layers of the layers of the layers, to have these ideas in our mind of what we're here to shed. How the heck do we go from this point to this point? They seem like a far chasm. But I know from practice with myself, my clients, is that when we begin to apply new perspectives, new voices of compassion, new ways of escorting ourselves on the journey, our life begins to unfold. And it's just beautiful work. Not going to say there's no more beautiful work, because there's so much beautiful work being done in the world, but it is here for you. It is here for you to lean into the resource that this podcast is, even if this episode is the only one you ever listen to or you're a regular listener. I think that with 2025, I've learned this through my numerology friends, being a universal 9 year, it's a year of endings and completions. And maybe we're carrying some of those things over into 2026, but I'm going to run after this, I think, 3 episodes. And at my year-end episode, we're really going to celebrate together, okay? I don't know how we're going to do that, but we're going to do that. And, you know, I'm going to be collecting some information around that one. So stay tuned. Join any of my channels if you haven't yet. It's at Maureen Spielman on Instagram, private Facebook page, Mystical Sisterhood, or visit my website at maureenspielman.com, because I'm going to be putting up some really fun programming in the weeks to come, in, I think, anticipation of 2026. So thank you for being here. You are the wind in my sails, and I'm going to leave it there, but I appreciate you, and go find ways to appreciate yourself. All right. Lots of love, and I'll see you soon. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so.
To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.